The Fifth Voyage. "All the troubles and calamities I had undergone," said he, "could not cure me of my inclination to make new voyages. I, therefore, bought goods, departed with them for the best seaport, and that I might not be obliged to depend upon a captain, but have a ship at my own command, I remained there till one was built on purpose. When the ship was ready, I went on board with my goods. But not having enough to load her, I agreed to take with me several merchants of different nations with their merchandise. We sailed with the first fair wind, and after a long navigation, the first place we touched at was a desert island, where we found an egg of a rock, equal in size to that I formerly mentioned. There was a young rock in it, just ready to be hatched, and its bill had begun to appear. The merchants, whom I had taken on board, and who landed with me, broke the egg with hatchets, pulled out the young rock, piecemeal, and roasted it. I had earnestly entreated them not to meddle with the egg, but they would not listen to me. Scarcely had they finished their repast, when there appeared in the air, at a considerable distance from us, two great clouds. The captain, whom I had hired to navigate my ship, said they were the male and female rock that belonged to the young one, and pressed us to re-embark with all speed to prevent the misfortune which he said would otherwise befall us. We hastened on board and set sail with all possible expedition. In the meantime, the two rocks approached with a frightful noise, which they redoubled when they saw the egg broken and the young one gone. They flew back in the direction they had come, and disappeared for some time, while we made all the sail we could do endeavour to prevent that which unhappily befell us. They soon returned, and we observed that each of them carried between its talons rocks of a monstrous size. When they came directly over my ship, they hovered, and one of them let fall a stone, but by the dexterity of the steersman it missed us. The other rock, to our misfortune, threw his burden so exactly upon the middle of the ship as to split it into 1,000 pieces. The mariners and passengers were all crushed to death or sank. I myself was of the number of the latter, but as I came up again, I fortunately caught hold of a piece of the wreck, and swimming sometimes with one hand and sometimes with the other, I came to an island and got safely ashore. I sat down upon the grass to recover myself from my fatigue, after which I went into the island to explore it. I found trees everywhere, some of them bearing green and others ripe fruits, and streams of fresh pure water. I ate of the fruits, which I found excellent, and drank of the water, which was very good. When I was a little advanced into the island, I saw an old man who appeared very weak and infirm. He was sitting on the bank of a stream, and at first I took him to be one who had been shipwrecked like myself. I went toward him and saluted him, but he only slightly bowed his head. I asked him why he sat so still, but instead of answering me, he made a sign for me to take him upon my back and carry him over the brook, signifying that it was to gather fruit. I believed him really to stand in need of my assistance, took him upon my back, and having carried him over, bade him get down, and for that end stooped, that he might get off with ease. But instead of doing so, which I laugh at every time I think of it, the old man, who to me appeared quite decrepit, clasped his legs nimbly about my neck. He sat astride upon my shoulders and held my throat so tight that I thought he would have strangled me, the apprehension of which made me swoon and fall down. Notwithstanding my fainting, the ill-natured old fellow kept fast about my neck, but opened his legs a little to give me time to recover my breath. When I had done so, he thrust one of his feet against my stomach and struck me so rudely on the side with the other that he forced me to rise up against my will. Having arisen, he made me walk under the trees, and forced me now and then to stop, to gather and eat fruit. He never left me all day, and when I lay down to rest at night, laid himself down with me, holding always fast about my neck. Every morning he pushed me to make me awake, and afterward obliged me to get up and walk, and pressed me with his feet. One day I found in my way several dry calabashes that had fallen from a tree. I took a large one, and after cleaning it, pressed into it some juice of grapes, which abounded in the island. Having filled a calabash, I put it by in a convenient place, and going thither again some days after, I tasted it, and found the wine so good that it soon made me forget my sorrow, gave me new vigor, and so exhilarated my spirits that I began to sing and dance as I walked along. The old man, perceiving the effect which this liquor had upon me, and that I carried him with more ease than before, made me a sign to give him some of it. I handed him the calabash, and the liquor, pleasing his palate, he drank it all off. There being a considerable quantity of it, he became intoxicated, and the fumes getting up into his head, he began to sing after his manner, and to dance, thus loosening his legs from about me by degrees. Finding that he did not press me as before, I threw him upon the ground, where he lay without motion. I then took up a great stone and crushed him. I was extremely glad to be thus freed forever from this troublesome fellow. I now walked toward the beach, where I met the crew of a ship that had cast anchor to take in water. They were surprised to see me, but more so at hearing the particulars of my adventures. "You fell," said they, "into the hands of the old man of the sea, and are the first who ever escaped strangling by his malicious tricks. He never quits those he has once made himself master of till he has destroyed them, and he has made this island notorious by the number of men he has slain." After having informed me of these things, they carried me with them to the ship, and the captain received me with great kindness when they told him what had befallen me. He put out again to sea, and after some days' sail we arrived at the harbour of a great city. One of the merchants, who had taken me into his friendship, invited me to go along with him, and carried me to a place appointed for the accommodation of foreign merchants. He gave me a large bag, and having recommended me to some people of the town who used to gather coconuts, desired them to take me with them. "Go," said he, "follow them, and act as you see them do, but do not separate from them, otherwise you may endanger your life." Having thus spoken, he gave me provisions for the journey, and I went with them. We came to a thick forest of cocoa trees, very lofty, with trunks so smooth that it was not possible to climb to the branches that bore the fruit. When we entered the forest, we saw a great number of apes of several sizes, who fled as soon as they perceived us, and climbed up to the top of the trees with surprising swiftness. The merchants with whom I was gathered stones and threw them at the apes on the trees. I did the same, and the apes, out of revenge, threw coconuts at us so fast and with such gestures as sufficiently testified their anger and resentment. We gathered up the coconuts, and from time to time threw stones to provoke the apes, so that by this stratagem we filled our bags with coconuts, which it had been impossible otherwise to have done. When we had gathered our number, we returned to the city, where the merchant, who had sent me to the forest, gave me the value of the cocoas I brought. "Go on," said he, "and do the like every day, until you have got money enough to carry you home." I thanked him for his advice, and gradually collected as many coconuts as produced me a considerable sum. The vessel in which I had come sailed with some merchants who loaded her with coconuts. I embarked in her all the nuts I had, and when she was ready to sail, took leave of the merchant who had been so kind to me. We sailed toward the islands, where pepper grows in great plenty. From thence we went to the Isle of Comari, where the best species of wood of aloes grows. I exchanged my cocoa in those two islands for pepper and wood of aloes, and went with other merchants a-pearl fishing. I hired divers, who brought me up some that were very large and pure. I embarked in a vessel that happily arrived at Bussorah. From thence I returned to Baghdad, where I made vast sums of my pepper, wood of aloes, and pearls. I gave the tenth of my gains in alms, as I had done upon my return from my other voyages, and endeavored to dissipate my fatigues by amusements of different kinds. When Sinbad had finished his story, he ordered 100 sequins to be given to Hindbad, who retired with the other guests. But next morning the same company returned to dine. When Sinbad requested their attention and gave the following account of his sixth voyage.